Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus, the fourth chapter. Exodus chapter 4. In your Scofield Reference Bible, page 74. And starting with the first verse, we'll read through verse 5. The second verse is the text verse for this morning's message. Shall we stand, please, as we always do, for the reading of God's Word? And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And together on verse 5, That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And let's pray. Father, thank you. We thank you for this new year. We thank you for this first Sunday of this new year. We pray that you'd bless us and help us to be faithful to thee day by day. Make it a good year for the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Help us each to do our part to bring success that we may glorify thee and have good success. We pray that you'd bless now as we listen to the message. We pray that you'd open our ears to the truth, our hearts to the preaching, that we might be helped thereby. And bless our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jennifer, for that duet. The rest of you are just not very sharp, that's all. You don't catch things very easily. And you give her a few more days, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, it will be a duet, I'll tell you for sure. I've outlined this message and had it prepared for several weeks to bring specifically this morning. You see, 57 years ago, last Sunday night, New Year's Eve was on a Sunday, and on Watch Night Service, 56 years ago, it was. I was sitting in front of my hero, All-American Joe Boyd, about the second row over here, about my home church. It was getting close to midnight, and Joe Boyd had surrendered to preach the gospel not many days before. Our church was all excited about that, and Joe was the hero of the neighborhood. He was all-conference tackle at Crozier Technical High School. He was all-American, captain of the national champion Texas A&M football team, played in the Sugar Bowl, 1939. Joe was the heavyweight wrestling champion of Texas A&M, the heavyweight boxing champion of Texas A&M, and I was champion of the girls' ping pong league. I was a little ashamed to walk the aisle, really was. The people were so happy when Joe Boyd had walked the aisle because everybody knew Joe. He was the hero of our little poor neighborhood. But when I walked the aisle, nobody thought anything about it. I recall a prayer I prayed sometime in the wee hours of the morning, January 1st. My prayer was, Dear God, I cannot give you what Joe Boyd can give you, but I can give you as much of Jack Hiles as Joe Boyd can give you of Joe Boyd. And that's all God wants. God doesn't want. Somebody said, oh, big, handsome fellow like Joe Boyd, God can use him. Well, I'm sorry, but God is not bankrupt for beauty. It was God who made the rainbow. It was God who made the rose. It was God who made the daffodil. And God does not need beauty. God just needs what's in your hand. That's all. He needs you. Somebody said, oh, big, strong fellow like Joe Boyd. Well, God has used him mightily. But God doesn't need strength. God holds the world in place. He's the creator of the universe. God just needs you. If I had time this morning, and that'd take me days and weeks to tell you how good God has been. For I gave God what I had. That's all God wants. I didn't have what Joe Boyd had to give to God, but I gave God all that Jack Hiles had to give. And I want to, because of that, I've saved this message this morning for today, the first Sunday morning of this year. I read you these words. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? That's the title of my sermon. What is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he became a serpent, and Moses fled before it. Now, that rod in the hand of Moses, outside the hand of Moses, is just another rod. And without that rod, Moses is just another man. But in the hand of Moses, given to God, you see, as long as you're in God's hand, all God needs is what's in your hand. And that rod was used of God to smite a sea and cause the waters to stand up in attention on either side. That rod caused the bottom of that sea to dry up so that about 3 million Jews could walk over on dry ground. That rod caused that sea to come back again and drown the armies of the Egyptians. That rod caused water to burst forth from the rock in Horeb to take care of the water supply needs for 3 million people for 40 years. It was that rod in the hand of Moses given to God. And God said, what is that in thine hand? God can use a bus kid as much as God can use a drive-in kid if he gives what he has to God, what's in his hand. God can use a public school student as much as he can a Hammond Baptist student as long as he gives what is in his hand to God. God wants what you have. Doesn't matter how much it is. For a little lad, it was simply a lunch basket. Barley. Barley was what they fed the animals. Hardly any humans ate barley. 5 barley loaves. That's what God wanted. I want to talk to you about the subject, what is that in thine hand? Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you would encourage the hearts of all the people. All of us do not have the same thing to give. Some have much, but some of us have little. Some have power, but some of us have weakness. Some have talent, but some of us have little talent, if any. I pray this morning you'd help me to encourage our people to let go and let God have his way. Amen. What is in your hand, Moses? A rod. Give that rod to God, and it will smite a sea. Give that rod to God, and it will divide the waters of that sea. Give that rod to God, and it will dry up the land under the sea. Give that rod to God, and it will deliver the nation Israel from the land of Egypt and the bondage and slavery of Egyptian slavery and bondage. Give that rod to God, and it will destroy the armies of Pharaoh. Give that rod to God, and it will bring forth water from the rock in Horeb. Think what would have happened if Moses had held on to that rod. Just like some of you are holding on to what you have, using your talent for secular pleasures only, or secular endeavors only. Think what would have happened if Moses had held on to that rod. A nation would have stayed in slavery. A nation, no doubt, would have been destroyed. Hundreds of thousands of people have been killed. The Holocaust would have looked simple compared to what would have happened. Another Holocaust, if you please. And not only that, but that rod would have just been another rod. You listen to me, folks. You listen. If you want to have a happy life, and a life that's successful, and a life that will live forever, and a life for which you'll be thankful when you face God someday, you just let God have whatever is in your hand. What is in your hand, Mary of Bethany? A little box of ointment. Give it to God. Its precious odor will fill the world for 2,000 years. Break that alabaster box of ointment and anoint the Savior. Give it to God. Never were greater honors bestowed upon a mortal than were bestowed upon Mary. All she had in her hand was a little box of ointment, but she gave it to God. Never has there been a human being in the history of mankind upon whom more honor was bestowed than upon Mary. He declared, Jesus declared, that her deed would be remembered everywhere forever. Give it to God, Mary. Give that box of ointment to God. Think what would have happened if she had not given that box of ointment to God. Think what she would have missed. Nobody would know of Mary. Would somebody tell me who the King of England was in 1532? Dr. Evans could. But somebody that's normal. Would somebody tell me? I mean, would somebody tell me who the president or chancellor or prime minister of Egypt is today? Oh, a few of you could. But here's a little lady, a simple little lady. All she had in her hand was a box of ointment. She gave it to God. Now, if she had not given it to God, she would have missed renown, world renown, forever and everywhere. And that box would have just been another box. What's in your hand, Martha? Only a skillet and a spatula. Give it to God and He'll make your home a bed and breakfast for the Son of God Himself. Give it to God. That spatula, that skillet, that saucepan, that stove. Give it to God. And if Martha had not given it to God, nobody would know who Martha was. And not only that, that skillet would have just been another skillet. And that stove would have just been another stove. I wish I could let you know this morning that there is a living Savior, there is a living God, and that God is a miracle-working God, and God doesn't need a famous baseball player or a famous movie star to get saved and do His work. God just needs you and whatever is in your hand. What's in your hand, Dorcas? A needle? A needle. Let go and let God have it, Dorcas. Let God have that needle. And she did. She gave it to God and she sold for the poor. God saw the glistening of that needle passing in and out of the garment, and that needle made a more lasting inscription upon a piece of cloth than of all the inscriptions on brass and metal and marble in the history of mankind. One little needle. Give it to God. If God has given you ability to sow, I'm not saying you shouldn't sow for a living, but let God have it too. If God has given you a wrench, I'm not saying you shouldn't be a mechanic, but let God have it too. I'm saying that little needle has in the hand of God, and as Dorcas put her hand in God's hand and the needle in her hand, her eulogy is read more than the Roman generals or Grecian artists all put together. Why? She gave what she had to God. Listen, give a needle to the world and see what happens. Give a spatula or skillet to the world and see what happens. But our great God can take what you have and bless multitudes as He did with a little needle for Dorcas and a skillet for Martha and a little box for Mary and a rod in the hand of Moses. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, you can live a life that's victorious and happy and useful, and someday in the face of God will get rewards if you'll just give God what's in your hand. That's all He wants. Think what she and the poor and we would have missed if Dorcas had held on to that needle and not let God have it. And that needle would have just been another needle. What's in your hand, David? A sling. 5 stones. Well, David, give it to God. It'll save a nation. Give it to God and you can fell the giant that causes fear to fill the breast of every Jew. The giant who's challenged anybody to be represent as captain of Israel in battle and to fight him, and the winner of that battle will give victory to his nation. And little David, what's in your hand? A sling. Give it to God, David, and you can save a nation with it. It will think what would have happened if David had held on to that sling. Think what would have happened if David had said, mine, mine. But David gave that sling to God. Think what would have happened if David, a nation would have been destroyed, and that sling would have been just another sling. What's in your hand, David? A harp. Give it to God. King Saul was possessed with an evil spirit. Many will die at his wicked hand unless that evil spirit is soothed. David, rush to the king. Play on the strings of the harp. Let God have that harp. I don't care what you've got. If you can sing, you can get me. You can do more for God with your voice than you can for the world. I'm sick and tired of people singing in church till they get famous. And they become quartets that sing wicked songs. Listen, many of the great singers in all of America, the great secular singers, they learned how to sing in church. Well, bless God, you let God have your voice. That little lady that sang a while ago could make hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars if she put that voice in the hands of the world. But let me tell you something, brother. The rewards that she'll get because of giving her voice to God, the rewards will make $100 million look like penny ante money. Why? When she stands before God, give it to God. Let go and let God have what you've got in your hand. Think what would have happened if David had not rushed to Saul and with the soft strains of music soothed his evil tendencies. Think how many would have died had not David surrendered his harp. And it would have just been another harp. What's in your hand, Gideon? What's in your hand or the hands of your 300 soldiers? What kind of weapons do you have? What kind of rifle do you have? How about your hand grenades? How about your mortars? How about your tanks? How about your air force? How about your cavalry? How about your navy? What do your soldiers have in their hands, David? I mean, Gideon, lamps, pitchers, and trumpets. That's a strange arsenal for an army. Lamps, pitchers, and trumpets. Hey, let God have them. Each of you 300 soldiers, let God have those lamps. Let God have those trumpets. Let God have those pitchers. And so it was. Blast the trumpets. Crash the pitchers. Flash the lamps. You will astound the Midianites and seal their doom. Terrible will be their slaughter, and glorious will be the victory. And ladies and gentlemen, when it's all said and done, the real victors will be those who have given what they have in their hands to God Almighty. Think what would have happened if those 300 men had held on to their lamps, their pitchers, and their trumpets. A nation would have been destroyed, and those pitchers would just have been other pitchers. And the trumpet in your hand would be just another trumpet. And a lamp in your hand would just be another lamp. But you let God have those. Let me tell you something. God can use pitchers and lamps and trumpets to lick the mightiest cavalry and the mightiest tank force in the entire world. Why? Because when God has a man in his hand who has something in his hand that he uses for God, you've got something that's immortal is going to happen. What's in your hand, lad? I love this story. What's in your hand, lad? A lunch basket Mama made for me today and Daddy provided for me. Could we have it? You know who the greatest children's worker in history was? Andrew. Try taking a lunch basket away from a kid. Just try. First, in some way, Andrew, and boy, I wish I could, as good as Andrew, I wish I could talk you children in letting God have what you have. I wish I could talk to you high school, Hammond Baptist High School, and public school students and bus kid teenagers. I wish I could talk you to doing what that little lad did. Let God have what you've got. Give your life to God. Live a useful life. Live a life that amounts to something and that will live forever whenever you're gone. What's in your hand, lad? Barley loaves. With it, 5,000 men plus the women and children were fed. Son, if we got 12 baskets left over, take them home to your mama. The one that made you the 5 loaves and fishes and the lunch. Take those bar. And here comes the little boy home. Can you picture this for a moment? Here comes the little boy home. Mama, guess what happened? Where'd you get those barley loaves? Where'd you get those 12 baskets? You only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Son, you've been up to some mischief. No, Mama. No, Mama. No, no. Well, son, what happened? You ain't going to believe it. Son, I'm going to spank you if you don't tell me what happened. Well, Mama, here's what happened. McDonald's joined Burger King, and Wendy's and Taco Bell and Checkers and Red Lobster and Olive Garden and Outback and Country Buffet and IHOP and Teeples and Phil Smith's and Chili's and Cracker Barrel and Bob Evans and Baker Square and Commander and the Girardos and Pizza Hut and Giovanni's and Minor Dunn and Dairy Queen and New Moon and Round the Clock and Jalapeno and Shoop's and Subway, and they all got together and got enough food and fed 5,000 people, and they gave me what was left over. Son, are you telling me the truth? No, Mama, but if I told you what really happened, you dead sure wouldn't believe it then. If that little boy had held on to that lunch, nobody'd know he existed. And some of you folks are going to live and die, and the next generation not going to know in the world who you were. Why? Because you're holding on to what's in your hand. What's in your hand, Moses? Let God have it, and a nation can be spared. What's in your hand, David? Let go of it, and a giant can be felled. What's in your hand, Martha? Let go of it, and you can provide the meal for Jesus. What's in your hand, Mary? A box of ointment. Let go of it, and the whole world will know about you forever. Let go of what you have, and let God have it. God can give it a useful life. And by the way, if that boy had held on to that lunch, it would have been just another lunch. What's in your hand, Shamgar? Just an ox goad. Just a stick that has a point on the end of it to prod the oxen. Let God have it. You can win a war with that. God has it. All you can do yourself with it is just prod a few oxen. But let God have it, and you can spare a nation. Keep it, and it's just another ox goad. What's in your hand, Joshua? A spear. Give it to God, Joshua. Let God have that spear. With that spear, God can save a nation. But if you hold that spear in your hand, it's just another spear. What's in your hand, widow? Two mites. True story. The offering plate was passed in a church one day. The men board counted the money at the end of the service, and there were two mittens, two little children's gloves. They found out whose gloves they were and went to her, and a little girl put them in. Said, "Why did you put these gloves in the collection plate?" Well, she said, "The widow gave her two mitts. I decided to give mine." What's in your hand? Two mites. Put it in the offering plate. Would you tell me what that two mites could have bought if she'd kept it? How far would it have gone at Marshall Fields? Of course, he could buy a lot of stuff at Walmart. Brother Ray Young has a brother that said, if Walmart ain't got it, you don't need it. But what's in your hand? Two mites. Let God have those two mites. You squeeze it for yourself. It'll never buy you a thing, but you let God have it. And it'll be told about you as long as the world lives, and it'll make such a noise when those two mites hit the bottom of that collection plate, it'll be heard around the world forever and ever, as long as, let me tell you, brother, let go and let God have it. What's in your hand, Moses? A tree? Let God have it. You can sweeten the bitter waters of Marah and save a nation from starvation, no doubt. What's in your hand, beloved? A broom? Thank God for those men. Meet me every Sunday morning here on this front row. My buddies called custodians who've given God a broom, a dusting cloth, a vacuum cleaner. Thank God for those men that have given God out here a shovel with which to shovel snow. And let me tell you something. Every time you shovel a shovel full of snow from the church parking lot, you will receive reward for it when you get to heaven. What's in your hand, a broom? Give it to God, and it can be used for God as much as was the scepter of Solomon. But keep it. It'll just be another broom. What's in your hand? A hammer? Well, use it for carpentry, but also use it for God. Don't let it be just another hammer. And don't let your scalpel be just another scalpel. What's in your hand? A trowel? Give it to God. Don't let it be just another trowel. What's in your hand? A brush? Give it to God. Don't let it be just another brush. What's in your hand? A pen? Give it to God. Don't let it be just another pen. What's in your hand? A chisel? Give it to God. Don't let it be just another chisel. What's in your hand? A saw? Give it to God. Don't let it be just another saw. What's in your hand? An instrument? Give it to God. Don't let it be just another instrument. What's in your hand? A cup of cold water? Give it to God. And don't let it be just another cup of cold water. What's in your hand? A spatula? Give it to God. Don't let it be just another spatula. What's in your hand? A plow? Give it to God. Don't let it be just another plow. What's in your hand? A wheel on a car? Give it to God. Don't let it be just another wheel. Let me tell you something. I'm glad that I serve a God in heaven that can take a widow's mites, can take a lad's lunch basket, can take a slingshot, can take a rod, can take a box of ointment, can take a spatula and skillet, and God can use it for His glory, and people can be known as long as mankind lives. Oh, you college students, give it to God today. I've noticed this. I've noticed in Howells Anderson College some of the least likely people succeed. And the glamour boys seldom do. You know why? God doesn't need your glamour, Mr. America. God just needs whatever's in your hand. And God can take whatever is in your hand, and God can use it for His glory and honor, for the blessing of others, and give you a name that lingers as long as men live. Observations. If you keep it, you'll miss the greatest opportunity of your life. Who would have known about Moses if he had kept that rod? Who would have known about David if he had kept that sling? Who would have known about Martha if she had kept that spatula? Who would have known about Mary if she had kept that box of ointment? Who would have known about the widow if she had kept the two mites? Who would have known about the lad if he had kept his lunch basket? Observation number two, hear me carefully. You will not on this earth know what you've missed. If you keep it in your hands, you'll have a lot of fun on this earth. You'll enjoy your own spatula. You'll enjoy your own rod. You'll enjoy your own box of ointment. You'll enjoy your own money. And you won't on this earth know what you've missed. But observation number three, you will know in heaven what could have been done with that you did not give to God. And one of these days, the Elvis Presleys are going to stand before God, and the Jennifer DePeaces are going to stand before God. One of these days, the people that have made millions will stand before God with what's in their hand, but the people have given it to God. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, in those days, the righteous will rise and shine like the stars forever and ever and ever. Don't just, like the fellow said, he said, this year I hold my crop on Sunday, I planted my crop on Sunday. I fertilized my crop on Sunday. I harvested my crop on Sunday. And I had the best crop I ever had this October I've ever had. What you going to say to that, Reverend? And the preacher said, God doesn't always pay off in October. Let the Michael Jordans have fun. That's all the fun they're going to have. Let the Liberaces have fun. You just wait till Rocco de Peace and Liberace stand before God. Rocco de Peace will say, glory to God. Liberace will say, well, I swan. You listen to me. The devil's a stinking liar. Don't you listen to him. What you've got, you let God have it, and God can do a million times more than the devil can. You may not make all the money you wish you had, but there is money in heaven that'll make money down here look just like streets and pavement. So use it for God. When your hand is in God's hand, what is in your hand is enough. God wants more than what is in your hand. God wants the hand that holds what is in your hand. And wait till real payday comes. Wait till these school teachers in Hammond Baptist schools come to payday. When they could have made four times as much in a public school as they make in a Christian school. But payday is not just the 1st and 15th. You wait. You wait till the real payday comes when these bus drivers who drive these buses and these maintenance men and volunteer professional people and these PA engineers who've given us this wonderful PA system stand before God. And Randy Erickson, who could have made hundreds of thousands of dollars in the world with his business, gave it all up. He gave his wrench to God. When the real payday comes, when Jesse Browning, one of the most talented men I know and one of the best kept secrets in this church is Jesse Browning. Jesse can fix anything. He's just like me. Ms. Hiles will tell you that I'm the best handyman in America. I tell her, anything in the world that's broken, call me, and I'll have Randy and Jesse come and look at it. Wait till the real payday comes. When Jerry Oswardy gets paid, and Glenn Gray gets paid, and the college nurses get paid, and the mechanics at the college and church get paid, and Mr. Rikus, a painter who spends his life making a few dollars here at the church, keeping the buildings painted, gets paid, and Mr. Pine, and Mr. Bulmer, all professional men who could be making a lot of money. I'm not saying that everybody needs to work full-time at the church. I'm simply saying what you've got in your hand, use it for God. That's what I'm saying. When I knelt at that Watson Night service 56 years ago in the wee hours of the morning, behind me was 6'3", 230-pound All-American tackle, number one Associated Press tackle on the All-American team, captain of the national champions. I'm talking about it was the Oklahoma Sooners of 1939. And right in front of that big All-American player stood a little boy whose daddy was a neighborhood drunk, who was an introvert. And nobody clapped when I came forward. They did when Joe Boyd came forward. And nobody hollered amen when I came forward. They did when Joe Boyd came forward. When I made that prayer, dear God, I can't give you what Joe Boyd can give you. But I can give you as much of Jack Hiles as Joe Boyd can give you of Joe Boyd. I don't have in my hand what he has. But you can have all I got in my hand. I think I heard God say, that's all I want. That's all I want. My sister is not well this morning.
She came to church and became incoherent, did not know where she was. We'll have to wait till the service is over to find out what's wrong. But I could not help but remember that time when we sat in the front yard after her husband had left her, shocked her to death, all night, one night in the front yard, and asked Erlene, give your years to God. What did she have to give in her? What did she have in her hand? A pen. A pen. She was a bookkeeper. That's all she had. A pen. As a 45-year-old lady, she enrolled in a college, Christian college, prepared to serve God full time. And now for these years, she's been in charge of all the bookkeeping at Howells Anderson College. One of the most respected women in America, and certainly one of the most respected women. She gave God what she had. That's all God wants, what you have. And by the way, Marilyn Monroe doesn't have as many people who revere her as Erlene Stevens does. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His way. Your burden will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. What's in your hand, Moses? A rod? Give it to God and save a nation. What's in your hand, Martha? A spatula? A saucepan? A skillet? Give it to God. Your house can be the bed and breakfast place where Jesus loves to come. What's in your hand, Mary? A box of ointment? Give it to God. And folks will speak of you as long as folks speak. What's in your hand, Dorcas? A needle. Give it to God. And God will watch the glistening needle as it goes in and out of the garment and engrave on that cloth a more permanent message than you will be engraved on marble or bronze. What's in your hand, son? A lunch basket. Give it to God. What's in your hand today? Hammer? Saw, needle, spatula, trowel. What's in your hand today? May the first Sunday of 2001, may we just simply say, dear God, here it is. You can do more with it than I can. I'll use it for your honor. I'll use it for your glory. When Moses went up to Mount Nebo, looked over and saw the promised land and realized his people were entering in the promised land. Moses gave up the ghost and God said, Moses, my servant is dead. I'll bind you one thing. Moses shouted all the way to heaven. They did not keep that rod in his hand. What is in thine hand? What is in thine hand? I think I've mentioned this before, but I thought about it a while ago. Joe Boyd, Bill Harvey, Bob Gray from Jacksonville, and a few of us were around the table several years ago discussing what we would have been if we hadn't been preachers. Joe Boyd said Bill Harvey would have been a great soloist in Hollywood, a great singer. Bill Harvey was probably the greatest male gospel soloist I've ever heard. Bill Harvey would probably have been a great, famous, wealthy Hollywood singer. Well, what would you have been, Joe Boyd? Joe Boyd was number one draft pick for the Washington Redskins. He'd probably been in the NFL Hall of Fame. Somebody said, what would Jack Hiles have been? And Bill Harvey said, probably a Jimmy Hoffa. I don't know what I'd have been. But everything that I've done or have or am, I owe it to that wee hours of the morning on January 1st, 1944, when I said, dear God, I can't give you what Joe Boyd can give you, but I can give you all of Jack Hiles, and I can give you as much of Jack Hiles as Joe Boyd can give you of Joe Boyd. Randy Taylor sat in my office last night. He inherited the camp that Joe Boyd started. And Randy Taylor said last night to me, He said, "Dr. Hiles, Joe Boyd treasures your friendship more than he treasures anything on the face of the earth." And I couldn't help but thank God. I let him have my little rod. I let him have my little basket. I let him have my little box of ointment. I let him have what little I had. And I'll promise you, you let go of what you have in your hand and put it in the hands of him who holds you in his hands, and I'll promise you one day you'll thank God that you did. Would you bow your heads, please?